San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, August 11. A Riddle of Simplicity with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation, and I call this God, the living spirit almighty, in which we live and move and have our being. And this one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause is all that is, all that ever has been, all that ever will be. And so I welcome you here this morning, and I say to you, namaste. Namaste is a Sanskrit greeting that means that the divine in me recognizes and acknowledges the divine in you. And it recognizes that we are all one. There is only one in this divine presence that has created us all. And we made that pretty clear by saying it's infinite and it's eternal. Infinite means there's nothing outside of what is. Nothing outside. There's not infinite and me. There's not infinite and you. There is simply the all in all, the wholeness, the one life. That life is divine, and that life is each and every one of our lives, now and always. So this morning we're going to be talking about a riddle of simplicity. Did you know that in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes actually has a section written called A Riddle of Simplicity? Guess where we got the name of our title? One of the things that that we think about when we think about simplicity is the word itself. It implies a singleness of thought, a feeling of clarity, and a unified sense of oneness that brings peace of mind and comfort. But we don't always think of that as being what simplicity brings. We think of something simple as not complicated, not complex, not chaotic, not disordered. And it is, because it is simple. It is what allows us our focus for one thing. We can focus on one thought, on one action, on one truth. There are a lot of people who have Zen practices, and the Zen practice is to have not a whole lot of clutter. And we'll be talking about clutter next week, but not a whole lot of clutter. Now, people who attempt to make their environment Zen like to remove clutter, when the truth is, it's the mind that needs to be Zen. It's the mind that needs to look at one thing. Simplicity gives us the permission to be more relaxed and more at ease, because when we're not in chaos and we're not in confusion and we're not in lots of things distracting our attention, we can be more focused. Our minds and our hearts can be more open and receptive to the world around us. And sometimes that world appears to be confusing and complicated. But it is always a comfort to know that simplicity, the idea of simplicity, is only a thought away. Dr. Fletcher Harding was a divine science minister and a colleague of Dr. Ernest Holmes. And Fletcher Harding said, "Life is simple if we keep it simple in our thoughts. Life is simple if we keep it simple in our thoughts." And that's pretty simple. We just keep it very, very simple. He talked about the problem of good and evil, but he gave us a nice, simple fact. He said to look at not good and evil with judgment, but with discernment. If fire is good to warm you and cook your food, but you put your hand in it, your hand will burn. Fire is not evil. Fire is not good. Fire is neutral. It's a spiritual principle. It's a physical principle. Fire is neutral. How we use each spiritual principle, each natural principle, is how we reap whatever benefit or loss we achieve. Dr. Harding meant that the fire is unconditional. It'll warm you, it'll cook for you, it'll harm you. And that's very simple. But we find ourselves going back again and again to the flame, and we wonder why we're getting burned. We're going around in that cycle of thought that leads us to repetition of thought, repetition of pattern, and it's time to stop and say, is that the pattern I want going on in my life for the whole rest of my life? For me, I'd rather the fire appear neutral, because that's what it is. It's the same with our Science of Mind teaching. It is so simple. It is so darn simple that we tend to think that it ought to be easy. Well, it is easy as long as we remain focused on the simplicity. We have a lot of catchphrases in the teachings of Science of Mind, in the things that we learn from Ernest Holmes and from other New Thought leaders. What you think about comes about. Change your thinking, change your life. It is done unto you as you believe. If it's going to be, it's up to me. As above, so below. All of these simple truths, very simple truths, that become cliches or complicated riddles. And we don't want them to become cliches. We want them to be who we are in our hearts. This morning we're going to take a closer look at how simple life really is and why we make things more complicated than they need to be. How many times do we make something complicated when it doesn't need to be? How many times do we look right past the simplicity and dive into the drama because that's what we're used to? I'm going to give you a story about something simple. An old man got up from his chair and his wife asked, "Where are you going?" He replied, "To the kitchen." She asked, "Will you get me a bowl of ice cream?" "Sure." Then his wife asked him, "Don't you think you should write it down so you can remember it?" "No, I can remember that." "Well, I also would like some strawberries on top. You'd better write that down because I know you'll forget it," the wife said. "I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries?" She replied, "Well, I'd also like whipped cream on top. I know you'll forget that. You'd better write it down." With irritation in his voice, he said, "I don't need to write that down. I can remember that." And he went off to the kitchen. About 20 minutes later, he returned from the kitchen and handed her a plate of bacon and eggs. She stared at the plate for a moment and said, "Where's my toast?" So what does that mean? That means that when we don't look at something as simple, as straightforward, when we try to make it complex, we lose our focus. And when we lose our focus, we don't get what we want. We get what we wind up with. Somebody else's idea. Probably the guy might have brought her a bowl of ice cream, but it became such a big deal with all of these but I don't just want the truth. I want the truth with strawberries and whipped cream, and I want vanilla truth, and I want all these things. So he went in there and he got what he wanted and brought it to her. And she got what he wanted, not what she wanted, but in all the distraction, she accepted what she was given. Is that what we want in our lives? Do I want to accept what I'm given instead of what I want? How do we get what we want? How do we identify what we want? Well, what we want is what we get when we simplify our thoughts, simplify our actions, and simplify our life. So my thoughts, my actions, my life. These are the things that need to be focused and simple in my mind, in my heart. I need to identify what is mine to be, what is mine to do, what is mine to give, what is mine to receive, what is mine to live. What is mine to live? I can't do that when I'm all caught up in everybody else's ideas of what are right for me, what I should be doing, what my parents wanted, what my teachers wanted, what my employers wanted. I have to know deep within my heart who I am. Who I am. So I need to simplify my thoughts, simplify my actions, and simplify my life. There's an ancient Chinese riddle that says, watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words for they become actions. Watch your actions for they become habits. Watch your habits for they become your character. And watch your character because it becomes your destiny. Your thoughts, your words, your actions, your habits, and your character become your reality. If you don't like your reality, we need to go way back to our thoughts. Because those thoughts wound up becoming our habits. And without consciously thinking, consciously focusing on what we're thinking, we will repeat our habits. That's why they're called habits. We habitually think, do, and say things. We don't have to unless we like what we are habitually thinking and doing and saying. When we want to change, we need to remember that we are in complete control. Nobody else controls us. We are in complete control. Nobody else controls your thoughts but you. Nobody else controls your actions but you. Nobody else controls your words but you. When I was growing up, my mother said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And so when I was feeling particularly annoying and annoyed with my brothers and sisters, they'd say something and I'd sit there and I'd go, just, you know, holding my mouth closed in an obvious, I'm not going to say anything. To convey the message with my actions, I can't think of a single nice thing about you right now. But you know what that was? I wasn't using my words to hurt them. I was using my actions to be mean and to hurt their feelings. So though I was fulfilling the letter of the law, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, I was not fulfilling the spirit of the law, which is have a charitable heart. Be open. Be loving. And these are the things that create complexity. What is so hard about simply being loving? Nothing. We create the complexity when we try and fulfill one law and yet not fulfill it by twisting it into something different to abuse the spirit of the law. So when we remember that nobody can control our thoughts, our words, or our actions but us, then it's time to look inside ourselves and say, what is really holding me back from my dreams, my goals, and desires? Or am I actually being held back from my dreams, my goals, and desires? I'm not. But people tend to think that something or someone is in the way. Nothing is in the way. My niece is a school teacher, and I love her. She is brilliant, and she is also, as a result of her brilliance and her intelligence and her life experiences, she thinks way outside the box. She also has a lot of friends who get very creative in what bulletin boards they put up for their students. And she shared one with me. I've got an image of it up here on the board here for you to see. But I'm going to describe that.
I read it.
Yes, it is amazing. So it's a bulletin board taking advantage of the Harry Potter popularity. And above the board are these four images of the different groups, the four houses at Hogwarts. There's Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, and what looks to be Hufflepuff. Since I haven't read the books, I'm guessing Hufflepuff. Beneath that is the flagged banner, Hogwarts. And the big invitation to all the students, meet the wizard responsible for your choices, grades, success, words, and actions. And there are four picture frames, one above each of those. But they aren't pictures of the wizards that are the teachers. They are mirrors. So that as each student walks up there and says, well, who's that wizard responsible for my grades? Whoops, it's me. Who's that wizard responsible for my actions? Whoops, that's me. And the very first one, of course, is who's that wizard responsible for my choices? Because I sure didn't choose to have this complexity going on in my life. And it's, well, whoops, that's me. I chose to come to Hogwarts. I chose to do whatever thing that I think I was forced to do, whether it's do my homework, not do my homework, learn my incantations, not learn my incantations. The wizard responsible for each of our own choices, grades, success, words, and actions is us. And this bulletin board is a physical example for students in school who seem to think they have no choices, that there's a grading system that works against them, that they are never going to be successful for whatever reason, their language, their clothing, their faith, you know, whatever they think is holding them back from success. No. No, nothing holds anybody back but our ideas that we are being held back. When Jessica sent that, I thought, wow, her timing is impeccable, because the riddle of simplicity is, it's only you. It's only you. I have some other quotes about simplicity. Chopin is one of my favorite composers. He was Polish, which surprised me much later. I never even gave it any thought until my 200% Polish husband said, "Oh yeah, he's like a national hero in Poland." And I'm going, "Oh, well, you know, he's just an amazing composer." So Chopin, C-H-O-P-I-N, has a name that is not simple to pronounce unless you're Polish. When I was a little girl, my parents had a lot of 33 and a third record albums. And there were a few that I would go into our living room and put on the hi-fi and just lay there and on the rug and listen to them while everybody else did everything in the house. One of them was Chopin's Polonaises. And I was talking to my mother and I said, "You know, I really like this stuff. This guy Chopin, I really like him." And she looked at me and she goes, "Chopin?" And I held up the album and she goes, "Chopin." But it's spelled C-H-O-P-I-N. Now, I was a reader before I even went to kindergarten. So here I am, technically C-H-O-P-I-N. That's Chopin. I know because I learned how to read. No, this is Chopin. So then I practiced saying Chopin over and over and over. But the Polonaises moved my whole body and soul. And if you listen to them, they appear complex. But I've heard them so many times over the years, I know exactly what note is going to come. But you know what Chopin said? He said, "Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. After one has played a vast quantity of notes and more notes, it is simplicity that emerges as the crowning reward of art." The crowning reward of art. So even when I listen to the album with all the notes upon notes upon notes that he was playing, I also could hear somebody humming just the melody line of one of his, and I would know that's Chopin. That's his Polonaises. That's the one I love most. Because I could hear that simple melody line going through regardless of all of the complexity. So think about that for our lives. We've got all these people around us, people upon people upon people, who say words upon words upon words. And the melody line in there is simple. You are one with God. In the infinite nature of the divine, there is nothing outside of the divine. So no matter what's going on in the entire world, you are part of the divine. You can't get away from it. How can you escape infinity? You just can't. So there is a story that might demonstrate this a little bit. There is a man that went on vacation, a businessman, and he decided to go to a fishing village in Mexico. There was an old fisherman who lived on that beach in Mexico. And the businessman that was on vacation watched the daily routine of the fisherman. And the fisherman would go out each day with his small boat, and he would net fish until he caught one full net. One. Then he'd return to the beach, take care of his catch for the day, enjoy a little siesta with his family and friends until dinner time, relax a little more, and then enjoy the sunset together with them. After a few days observing the fishermen, the businessman could not get over all the opportunities this humble and simple man was missing. This businessman, he knew exactly how to help this fisherman. 10 boats would reap 10 times the fish. He could rent those boats and hire other manpower to do the extra work, and he'd end up with 10 times the profit at the end of the day. So the businessman told the fisherman of his offer, and the fisherman replied, "What would be the purpose in doing this? What would be the purpose in doing this?" And the businessman responded, "So you can make more money to enjoy afternoon siesta with your family and friends and watch the sunset together in the evenings." And to this, the fisherman replied, "But I already do that." And he went back to his wife and children to continue his siesta. Sometimes we make things so complicated when we don't have to. Happiness is now. It's in the simple pleasures of life. So embrace and enjoy your life now. Enjoy its beauty and its simplicity. Marcus Aurelius said, "Dwell on the beauty of life. Watch the stars and see yourself running with them." The beauty of life. Simple. Simple. Ernest Holmes, in the Science of Mind textbook, under A Riddle of Simplicity, it's on pages 41 and 42, he wrote, "It's a beautiful and true thought to realize that every man stands in the shadow of mighty mind, a pure intelligence, and a divine givingness. Not alone unto the great comes the soft tread of the unseen guest. The arrogant have not perceived the simplicity of faith, but the pure in heart see God. The farmer has seen the heavenly host in his fields. The child has frolicked with him at play. The mother has clasped him to her breast, and the fond lover has seen him in the eyes of his beloved. We look too far away for reality. The intelligence by and through which we perceive that there is a spiritual presence and an infinite mind in the universe constitutes our receptivity to it and decides its flow through us. We have made a riddle out of simplicity. We have made a riddle out of simplicity. Therefore, we have not read the sermons written in stones, nor interpreted the light of love running through life. To return to a sane simplicity is one of the first and most important things to do. All men receive some light, and this light is always the same light. There is one nature diffused throughout all nature, one God incarnated in all peoples." It's only one. Very simple. One life, that life is God, and that life is your life right now and always. It always has been. Sometimes we have questions, and what I love is the fact that when we have questions, the simple, most simple thing that we can remember is that the answer is within you. You cannot come up with these questions unless you are inspired by the one mind to question something that has been revealed to you at some level. So you ask the question, but that answer is always within you. Everything that we think we learn is merely a remembering of a sacred truth that we have known within our divinity always. Dr. Al Salazar was a minister of the Divine Science Church of the Healing Christ in Washington, D.C., and he said this: in quietness and in stillness, there is a strength and a confidence that comes over us. Because of this surge of self-assurance, we find ourselves moving in the direction we feared before. Whereas before there was confusion, now there is peace. Whereas before there was weakness, now there is courage and wisdom. When the Master said that the answer to every problem is within us, he meant what he said. The only peace we ever experience is the peace that reveals itself in us. And the only love we will ever feel does not come from the outer, but from within us. And it is in our willingness to turn within that reveals to us that all things are possible when we live from within out. Within you is the kingdom of God. Take time to be still throughout the day, to enter your closet and shut the door, that the imprisoned splendor may escape as the health of your body and the harmony in your home. The imprisoned splendor may escape. Who's imprisoning that splendor? Which wizard is responsible for imprisoning your splendor? It's not on my list here, but I could put imprisoning splendor and put up another mirror. Kathy Julien wrote a book. It is about you, and it's a marvelous book. It's also a workbook, and it's all about how we can turn to that truth that whatever is going on, the only one who can change it is us. How we think, how we act, how we talk, how we believe, all of it is up to us. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Change your thinking, change your thoughts. So how do we unlock the riddle of simplicity? We simplify our thoughts, we simplify our actions, we simplify our life. So if you are interested in that, please place your hand over your heart and affirm with me. I am ready.
I am ready.
I am speaking my word.
I am speaking my word.
To claim my greatness.
To claim my greatness.
To simplify my thoughts.
To simplify my thoughts.
Simplify my words.
Simplify my words.
And simplify my actions.
And simplify my actions.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So take a deep cleansing breath. You spoke your word. You put that word into the impress of the mind of God. And through that power of your word, through the power and the presence of the universal spirit that resides within you, you have activated the law of mind. The law. The universe can only say yes. And so when you said these words, the universe has immediately taken action and made it so. You are ready. You have always been ready. Your word has power. Your greatness is claimed. Your thoughts are simplified. Your words are simplified. Your actions are simplified. You said so. And so it is. So from this moment on, your life reflects simplicity and ease and grace. You now enjoy life's simple pleasures. Life's simple pleasures. And you are the simple truth of the life divine. So I thank you for your time and attention. Namaste.